Morning, everyone. Today's daf in Beis Daf Ches. We're in Zion Amid Beis. We thank the Lubin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf will be learned with Zechon Ishmas Los Lubin Zaltzman. And we begin. It's good. We're a week away from Pesach. I know that's good, but being that it's only a week away from Pesach, but we are going to at least get ourselves a little bit ready today, as we're going to cover a little bit about Chametz. Why are we talking about Chametz today? We're in Masechta Beitza. We're discussing Yontif in general. So if you go back to the mission, the first mission of the Masechta, so you see that there were three topics that were covered in the first mission of the Masechta. So Beitza Shenol DeBiyontif, the egg that's laid on Yontif, you're not allowed to eat, according to Beis Hillel. So that's the first topic, and that's what we've been discussing now for the past week. Up until this very point in the Masechta, from Daf Beis to Daf Zayin, Amid Beis, so for 1 week of Gemara, so we dedicated ourselves to the topic discussion of an egg. And that has been our focus since the beginning of the Masechta. And now we're moving on. We're looking ahead in the Mishnah. We're going now to the second statement of the Mishnah. The next statement of the Mishnah has to do with Chametz. The Mishnah reads, I'm just reviewing the Mishnah, Seor bekezayis vechametz bekakoseves. So when it comes to Seor, the amount is a kezayis. When it comes to Chametz, the amount is a koseves. Now, what exactly the Mishnah is talking about? So we know generally the Mishnah is talking about the Issur of Chametz, meaning beginning Monday night, actually, beginning Monday day, right, halfway through the day. So there's an Issur Minatorah, there's a prohibition to eat Chametz. To eat Chametz, to benefit from Chametz, and to own Chametz. And then Midrabban, rabbinically, it's backed up even a couple more hours. So already 2 halachic hours prior to midday on Monday. So already we're prohibited from eating Chametz. So the Gemara over here is going to discuss our Mishnah. Our Mishnah brings down a machlok, chin beis shamayim beis hillel. And ostensibly the machlokis is about shear. How much chametz is it going to be prohibited? Now the Mishnah is not telling us if we're talking about the Isser of Achila, or the Isser of Hana, or the Isser of Bayra, Bayimatsu, or the Isser of ownership. So that obviously is going to be a bit of an issue, and that requires clarification, and that is what we're going to do. We're going to try to clarify those issues. So that's what we're going to do right now. Just so everyone understands, as we go into this discussion, basically we're going to talk about two different types of chametz. We're going to talk about chametz, and we're going to talk about Seor. So let's understand what's chametz and what's sa'or. So chametz basically is bread, meaning anything which is flour and water and left to rise. Right? We use yeast to accelerate the whole rising process, but basically, chametz is bread. That's the definition of chametz. What's sa'or? Sa'or is a leavening agent. Right? So I'd say yeast, but yeast is not really a good translation. It's not a good definition. Sourdough. Sourdough is a better translation. Sourdough, in the good old days, you wanted to start the fermentation process of your dough. So what do? You take an old piece of dough and you throw it into the dough. And the old piece of dough that has wonderful stuff growing on it, but good. In other words, it's good stuff. Stuff that'll be a catalyst and that'll start the whole process of fermentation and cause your dough to rise. So that's what's called sourdough. And the Torah is referred to as sa'or. In of itself, sa'or is not that edible. In other words, to eat it is, I don't know if it's even recommended. But in other words, in of itself, it's not that edible. But in a certain way, it's even more chametz than chametz. Why do I say that? Because sa'or actually causes other doughs to become chametz. So it's, in other words, it's more than just chametz, it's a causative of chametz. So it's even a stronger form of chametz, a more intense form of chametz. So it worked its way, good question. So it worked its way into this discussion because the Mishnah gave us three topics where Beit Shammai is Mekel. Generally speaking, throughout the entire Shas, Beit Shammai is Machmer. Almost exclusively Machmer. There are a couple of instances where Beit Shammai is Mekel. So our Mishnah gives us three examples where Beit Shammai is Mekel in the world of Yontif. Meaning, take the entire category of Yontif, and basically there are three times in all of Yontif where Beit Shammai is going to be Mekel. So our Mishnah, the first Mishnah of Beitza, lumped them all together. They don't have to do with one another, the egg which is laid on Yontif, and the chametz, and we'll get to in just a moment the shechting of an animal in the midst of Kisui Adam, which we'll get to later today. So all those are, in other words, they're not connected topics, but the common denominator is that Beit Shammai is Mekel on all these topics. So here's an example where Beit Shammai is Mekel. So how is Beit Shammai Mekel? So again, what we saw in the Mishnah is that how much do you need in order to violate the prohibition of the Torah? So Beis Hillel says, I need a kezayis of both. The volume of an olive of either chametz or of seor, and that's it. That creates a liability. In terms of Beishamai says that when it comes to chametz, now let me do the other way. When it comes to Seor, so that's a kezias, so correct. In other words, the traditional shear of a kezias. But when it comes to chametz, a kosevis, which is larger, it's the volume of a date. We talked about in the 8th parak of Yuma how the volume of a date is larger than that of a kezias. Okay, and now what we're left to do now in the Gemara, we're on Zayin Amud Beis. We're about 15 lines from the top of the Amud. We're at the two dots. And now what we're about to do is discuss why. Where do these shitas come from? The truth of the matter is there are really two discussions that are going to be occurring in the Gemara. There's the why question. Why is Beis Shammai more lenient? And then, of course, there's also the bigger question, which is what? What are we even talking about? Meaning, which prohibition are we talking about? So, okay, so all that is going to be discussed over the next 20 lines of the Gemara. Beis Shammai Amrim Sor B'Kezayis, my time out, the Beis Shammai. So first of all, what's the reason of Beis Shammai? Im Kein Lechtov Rechman HaChametz V'lo Bai Seor. Meaning the Torah writes about Chametz and the Torah writes about Seor. You will look inside Parshas Bo, Perek Yud Beis, and you'll see the Torah over there give a full description of the prohibitions of Chametz and Seor. Okay, we just read it on Shabbos, not this past Shabbos, two Shabbosim ago, Parshas HaChodesh. And we're going to see it again on Pesach. Pesach, that'll be the landing of Pesach. So the Torah doesn't need to write, Lichsov Rechman Chametz V'lo Bai Seor. Meaning the Torah could have just told us about the prohibition of Chametz, and Seor we would have figured out on our own. V'anamida, we would have said. And here's what the Torah would have said. Look, or here's our deduction. Look, if the Torah is prohibiting a kezayis of chametz, the Torah is for sure prohibiting a kezayis of seor. Meaning, it makes sense because, as we pointed out in the beginning, seor is like super chametz. It's like, not only is it a leavened product, but it causes other products to become leavened. So therefore, if chametz is prohibited, seor for sure will be prohibited as well. Seor dekas rechman alameli. So now, the thought process of Beit Shammai is that the Torah didn't have to write the word Seor, and then the Torah did write the word Seor. So what does that leave us understanding? It must be that they are operating with two different quantities, so two different amounts. And Beisul will counter argue, and Beisul will say, no, it's not superfluous, it's not unnecessary. There's a reason why the Torah had to write both Chametz and Seor. Because Rechman Seor Havamin Mishum Dechimut Sekasha. Look, Seor not only is Chametz, but it's a causative. It causes other things to be Chametz. Ava Chametz Dechimut Sekasha Emalo. But when it comes to Chametz, we could have argued, look, it's not a causative. So tzricha. So that's why the Torah has to go out of its way to write chametz. V'ikas rechman chametz mishum derai la'achila. On the other hand, chametz is edible. Chametz is bread. It's edible. Aval seor shein ra la'achila imalo. But seor is not edible. You don't eat the seor by itself. It was a food, but now it's barely edible. The Gemara, the simple reading of the Gemara is that it's not edible at all. And so therefore, I would have said, okay, the Torah prohibits me from owning chametz. I'm trying to stay clear of what we're even talking about, because I know the Gemara is coming up. But the Gemara says, if the Torah would have written about chametz, that doesn't tell me about Seor. Chametz is edible. Seor is not edible. So therefore, it's tzricha. So that's why they're both necessary. So Beis Hillel's counter-argument is, it's not superfluous. I need the Torah to teach me about chametz, and I need the Torah to teach me about Seor. O Beis Shammai leis lehu derebi zera. And now, I'm sorry, period. Okay? All right, fine. All right, so basically where we're at right now is a debate between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, whether or not the Torah needed to tell me about chametz. Meaning, if the Torah already told me about Seor, which is a causative, so, I'm sorry, the other way around. If the Torah already told me about chametz, which is prohibited, so, which is like super chametz, it's a causative of chametz, so that for sure is going to be prohibited. And Beis Hillel's counter-argument is no, it's not superfluous, they're both necessary. So now the Gemara wonders, Beit Shammai, you don't hold a Rebbe Zera? Now mind you, Rebbe Zera is an Amora. Beit Shammai is an early Tana. So an early group of Tanaim. So when the Gemara says Beit Shammai doesn't hold a Rebbe Zera, it must mean that Rebbe Zera is speaking to a concept which was a which was clearly understood by everybody. The Amar Rabbi Zera Pasach HaKasuv B'Tzor V'Sim B'Chametz L'Melacha Zeh Tzor Zeh Chametz. In one Pasach, the Torah mentions both Tzor and Chametz. This is what we refer to as a Hekesh. Meaning when one Pasach has two different concepts included in that one Pasach, it must mean that the Torah is comparing the two, equating the two. So the Gemara says, well, the equation is Chametz equals Tzor, Tzor equals Chametz. What does that mean? What is that equation telling us? It's the same amount. Just like it's a kezayis of chametz, it's a kezayis of seor. This is what Rebbe Zera teaches us. It's a hekesh. And so now the Gemara is basically wondering out loud, what is Beit Shammah going to do with the hekesh? Is he ignoring the hekesh? So the Gemara now qualifies the entire discussion. And here the Gemara gives us the big reveal. Le'inyan achila kol yam lo pligi. So the Gemara says, look, as we point out in the beginning of this whole discussion, there are three prohibitions when it comes to chametz. You're not allowed to eat chametz, benefit from chametz, and own chametz. Those are three prohibitions. And now what the Gemara is clarifying is as follows. If we're talking about achila, so then we are all in agreement. When it comes to eating chametz, the shear is the kezayis. And that's true by chametz, and that's true by seor. It's the same. Ki pligi le'inyan biur. The only discussion over here is regarding the eradication of chametz, or as what we would call Ba'yira ba'yimatsa, the ownership of chametz. That's when there's the debate. Beit Shammah sarve lo yafinan biur me'achila, or Beit Silo sarve yafinan biur me'achila. That's the entire debate over here, whether or not the biur can be learned from achila, or biur cannot be learned from achila. Beit Shammah says we don't, and Beit Silo says we do. Idmar nami, the Gemara now that we got through this great breakthrough, so now the Gemara points out, Others have said it as well. I'm Rav Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, Machlokas, Inyan, Bir, Avale, Inyan, Achila, Divrei HaKol, Zev, Zebek, Azayas. Right. The only Machlokas in our mission between Beit Shammah and Beit Hillel is over the prohibition of ownership, where Beit Shammah is going to be a little bit more makel. He'll allow you to own a Kazayas of, now I'm saying it like it's okay, meaning there are concepts of Chatzi Shir, but anyway, but there's no liability. I'll say it a little bit clearer and perhaps even a little more correct. There's no liability for owning a kezayis of chametz according to Beit Shammah. Whereas according to Beit Hillel, there will be a liability for owning a kezayis of chametz. Tanya nami hachi. And here the Gemara just tells us in one other way to make the same point, a braisa, lo yiralecha seor, or lo yiralecha chametz, lo yiralecha seor, ze amachlokish Beit Shammah Beit Hillel, she Beit Shammah ormim seor bekezayis v'chametz bekakosevis, u Beit Hillel ormim zevis ze bekezayis. Okay, in other words, the whole machlokis is revolving around bal ye ra'ah, meaning the isur, the prohibition of ownership. Good. So basically what comes out from this Gemara now is that in terms of eating chametz, we're all in agreement, Beit Shammah and Beit Hillel, that the liability is going to be incurred if you eat a kezayis of either chametz or seor. In terms of ownership, so then there's a machlokas between Beit Shammah and Beit Hillel. Beit Hillel says that eating and ownership are the same, and Beit Shammah says that eating and ownership are not the same of chametz. Just one other point we can add to this discussion. There's a comment made in the beginning of Pesachim. Did we discuss it? I have no recollection. But there's a comment made in the beginning of Pesachim made by the Ran. Ran is one of the Rishonim on the Gemara. So he says, he comments on the riff in the back of the Gemara in Pesachim. So he says over there, why does the Torah prohibit ownership of chametz? I mean, that's a funny question. I mean, why does the Torah prohibit? The Torah prohibits. But in other words, but what's behind the prohibition of ownership of chametz? So the Ran writes that what's behind the prohibition of ownership is the Torah doesn't want us to own it because if we own it, we end up coming to eat it. Meaning it's a siag. It's a fence. It's a now, but it's interesting, however, because usually when we talk about fences, we're talking about rabbinic fences that prevent us from violating Torah prohibition. Right, Torah tells us, we just discussed this yesterday, don't eat chicken and milk, because if you eat chicken and milk, so then you're going to come eating meat and milk. So therefore, chicken and milk is a rabbinic prohibition. That's a fence created by the rabbis for the Torah. So what the Ran is introducing us is to the idea that sometimes the Torah creates fences for the Torah. Meaning this is what's called the siyag d'oraisa, a fence created for the by the Torah for the Torah. Right? That's the Ran in the beginning of Pesachim. So therefore, again, chametz, the eating of chametz is such a serious violation. One receives karis for eating chametz. So therefore, and the rest of the year, meaning 300 and whichever calendar you want to go by, but most of the year you're eating, we're eating chametz, and then 7 days out of the year here in Galus, 8 days of the year, the Torah says don't eat chametz. Not only don't eat chametz, but it's a curse prohibition if you do so. So therefore, what the Torah does is realizing that we're going to need a little extra protection, a little extra barrier. So the Torah says, you know what? Not only don't eat chametz, but don't own chametz as well. So that's the run. The run in the beginning of Pesachim says that the ownership of chametz is a siyag, it's a protection from the eating of chametz. So, with that run in mind, so now you're hearing Beis Hillel in our Gemara, and you're hearing him well. Beis Hillel says that the same parameters for eating is the same parameters for ownership. Right, it makes a lot of sense, because the ownership is really a siyag, it's a fence for the prohibition of eating. Okay, let's go on. Hashochet chaya ve'of v'yamtav. The Mishnah over here describes eating. I'm sorry, right? Shechting chaya ve'of v'yamtav. All right, we move on now to the last discussion of our Mishnah. This is it. This is before we move on to the next Mishnah. Today's daf is daf ches, and this is going to be most of our discussion for today. So first of all, just a brief introduction, and then we will go in the Gemara. Okay, we shecht, the Torah allows us to eat many things. The Torah allows us to eat animals, both domesticated and wild, and birds, and also grasshoppers and fish. Those are all the live species that the Torah allows us, enjoys us to eat. Now, when it comes to the shechting of wild animals, chayos, right, falling under the category of chayos would be like a deer, like a gazelle, right, venison, if you will. Domesticated animals are cows and sheep and goat. But in the domesticated animals, the behemoths, those are the animals that, if we had a base of mikdash, those are the animals that would go on to the base of mikdash. And chayos, and the wild animals, those are animals that we're allowed to eat, but those animals don't go on the base of mikdash. And when it comes to birds, most of the birds the Torah allows us to eat. The Torah only gives us a list of 24 birds that are prohibited to eat, but the rest of the birds we're allowed to eat. And of the birds, most of them don't go on the mizbeach. When we shecht either a chayer or an oaf, either a wild animal or a bird, so the Torah tells us that immediately after the shechita, there's a mitzvah. What's the mitzvah? The mitzvah is called kisui hadam. We cover the blood. So the Torah tells us that you take dirt, and you throw the dirt right on top of the blood, right after the shechita. Okay, you don't have to cover every ounce of blood, but in other words, but the Torah tells us that the first blood that comes out falls on the ground, you have to cover the blood. In fact, we're going to learn in just a moment in the Gemara that the mitzvah is to cover the blood, but to basically create a blanket of blood, meaning dirt on the bottom, then shech so that the blood falls on the dirt, and then put dirt on top of it. Then the mitzvah of kisui hadam is bi'afar. In fact, when we make the bracha, so the bracha is bi'afar. It wants to be in the dirt. So that means dirt on the bottom, dirt on the top, and the blood will be in the middle. The mitzvah of kisui hadam. Right. Again, I know we don't ask why, but what's behind the mitzvah of kisui hadam? So if you wanna, in general, by the way, you know the person to turn to in terms of understanding what's behind the mitzvot. So you could take a look at the Rambam. The Rambam discusses what's behind the mitzvot, and with the Rambam, you'll look primarily in Mor Nevuchim for a discussion of what's behind this mitzvah, what's behind that mitzvah. And also Sefer HaChinuch. Sefer HaChinuch articulates nearly by every single mitzvah, right? I think every mitzvah. So but I haven't gone through the entire Sefer HaChinuch cover to cover, but nearly every mitzvah. So he tells you this is what's behind this mitzvah, and this is what's behind this mitzvah. So the Sefer HaChinuch writes when it comes to the covering of the blood. So the Sefer Chinuch basically says, you know, blood has a lot of significance. Right? The Torah describes blood as being dam hu anefesh. It's representative of our nefesh. And so therefore, when we shecht an animal or a bird, so we want to, in other words, I don't want to say symbolic because it's not symbolic. It's a mitzvah. But what's behind the mitzvah is this idea of the significance of the blood, the nefesh of the blood. And so therefore, we're going to, it's almost like a burial, if you will. And so therefore, we're going to cover the blood. Why isn't there a requirement to cover behema? Meaning, if we're shechting a behema, why is there no mitzvah of covering the blood by behema? So the Sefer HaChinuch says, because the blood of a behema, its primary objective is to go onto the mizbeach, and to be sprinkled onto the mizbeach. Now again, we don't have a mizbeach, so it's you know, for us it's a little bit strange, but the Sefer Chinuch says, but that's the behemoths are primarily designed for the Mizbeach, and so therefore we don't have to cover the blood of the behemoth. But when it comes to Chayiv Oof, so therefore we cover. Okay, but again, that's not the right, I hope I'm being clear. That's not why we do it. We do it because the Torah says so, but that's what's behind the mitzvahs. Okay, that was a nice discussion, and now let's get into the halacha. What did our Mishnah tell us? So the Mishnah says like this: on Yontif, so if you're gonna shech the behemah, you're fine. So you shech the behemah on Yontif, no problem. What if you're gonna shech the chayiv of? So here now becomes the problem. The problem is that you're gonna need to cover the blood. In order to cover the blood, what do you need? You need dirt. Okay, now. There are a lot of issues regarding dirt and yontif, right? Let's just think out loud first, and then we'll see the Gemara inside. So if I don't have any dirt ready, so what does that mean? I'm going to take a shovel, I'm going to stick it into the ground, and I'm going to dig up some dirt, right? That you can't do that on yontif. And then, there's going to be a host of other issues as well. There's a moksa issue, meaning dirt is moksa. Okay, so in other words, so just... getting dirt in order to fulfill this mitzvah of Kisrei Adam, so that's going to be challenging, right? So what do we do? By the way, where is the mitzvah of Kisrei Adam? This week's parsha, meaning it works out perfectly. Okay, I didn't design it that way, but it's good. Pay careful attention this week's laning, and you'll see the mitzvah of Kisrei Adam in this week's parsha. So again, let's take a look back at our Mishnah. Let's review our Mishnah. Our Mishnah writes, go all the way back to Daf Beis Amud Aleph. So Hashochet Chayiv Oof BeYontiv, Yishech a wild animal or bird on Yontiv, Beishame Ormim Yachfor Bedeker VeYichase. So Beishame says, okay, dig. Yeah, right. Take the shovel, put it in the ground. Well, I'm going to clarify that point in just a moment. But basically, get the shovel in the ground, pick up the dirt, and cover the blood. Okay, that's Beit Shammai. And again, as we point out in the beginning of today's shiur, he's Mekel. Right, no problem at all. Why no problem? So hopefully we'll gain an understanding. Beis Hillel Omrim Lo Yishchot Ela Im Ken Hayelo Efer Muchan. Sorry, Afer Muchan Mi Ba'o Yom. So Beis Hillel says, no, don't you do it. Don't shecht if you don't have dirt ready. Meaning, if going into Yontif, you thought to yourself, okay, checklist for Yontif. Okay, got my animals? Good. Oh, we're going to shecht the chai over Yontif? Fine. Let's get the dirt ready. So in other words, if you have dirt prepared before Yontif for the purpose of the mitzvah of Kisrei Adam, so great. But if you don't, so Beis Hillel says, no, you don't shecht. Umodim... And then they both agree, Shim Shacha Shech for Bedeka Vichase, that if you do shecht, so then you cover it with dirt. That's, in other words, the Mishnah is telling us a distinction between Lechatchila Bidiyevit. Lechatchila, don't do it, but if you did it, so then you cover it with the dirt. Okay? Well, again, that we're going to hopefully understand that as well. And then the Mishnah ends off with four words, She'efer Kira Muchanhu. The ashes of the oven are considered mukhan, are considered prepared. Those last four words of the Mishnah, let's keep them on hold. And then what we'll do later on is we'll come back and we'll try to look at those last four words of the Mishnah and see if we can gain an understanding of those last four words of the Mishnah. Okay, so let's start the discussion now. We're on Zayin Amud Beis. We are now starting the discussion, the Gemara, about the mitzvah of Kisrei Adam. Hashochei chayiv oof beyomta v'chulei. Hashochei di'evin lechatchila lo. The Gemara's first problem is a textual problem of the Mishnah. The Mishnah starts off with the words Hashochet. Now, you heard enough Mishnayos, you'll know that the terminology of Hashochet means if you did it, which means that this is a din b'di'evin. It's not a din l'chatchila. So, Eima Seifa. So the Gemara says, but what bothers me then is the continuation of the Mishnah. Ubeis Hillel Omrim Lo Yishchot. So Beis Hillel says, don't shecht, and if you did. Meaning, the continuation of the Mishnah is talking about Bidiyevit. Mechal de Tanakava Samar Yishchot. So it sounds like, just from a transition perspective, the Mishnah is going from a point of Lechachila to a point of Bidiyevit. So but the Gemara says, Ha lo kasha, lo yishchot v'yichase kamar. So the Gemara says, no. Here's what the Mishnah is saying. The Mishnah is not giving us lechatchil and b'diavad. The Mishnah is giving us b'diavad and b'diavad, meaning the Mishnah reads smoothly. We're just going to have to understand the Mishnah a little bit better. But the Mishnah says lo yishchot v'yichaseh, meaning what the Mishnah is telling is don't shecht and cover. But again, the Gemara goes to the last part of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that if you shecht b'diavad, so then you cover. Again, it sounds like the Reisha is not talking b'diavad. So the Gemara says again, let's go back over the Mishnah, and we're just basically going to smooth out the Mishnah so that the Mishnah is giving us one basic point, which is hashochet. Meaning, the shochet over here doesn't mean the act of shechita. It means the one who wants to do shechita. Shebali malech. And so, therefore, he's thinking to himself as follows. I want a shecht. Okay? But I'm about to shecht a wild animal or bird. Oh, wait a second. I need dirt. Oh, I didn't prepare dirt before Yontif. Oh, what do I do? So then what he does is, he goes to his Rav. And he says to his Rav, okay, now, help me, what do I do? So, Kate said, Omer lo. So what the Mishnah is telling us now is instructions for the Rav. Rav, here's what you tell the person. And of course, the Mishnah brings down a machlokas, meaning what should the Rav say? Okay, depends which school of thought you follow. So Beishamer Amrim Lo Emor Lo Shchot Chafor V'Chasei. So Beishamai says to the Rav, here's what you tell him. Go, do it. And Beisila says, no. Did you prepare dirt before Yontif? Yes, good. No, don't do it. Don't shecht. All the Gemara wants to do right now is just smooth out the text of the Mishnah. Meaning, we haven't made a new point. We've revisited the same point. But now the Mishnah just wants the entire Mishnah to flow. Now the flow of the Mishnah is that the whole thing is b'diavad, meaning according to Beis Hillel, the only way you're allowed to cover is only if you shecht it first, meaning b'diavad. But lichatchila, you cannot shecht, and that's Beis Hillel's point throughout the entire Mishnah. Even at the beginning, that was his point. And what does the Mishnah mean when the Mishnah says hashochet? It means that he wants to shecht. He's going to his Rav and he's saying to his Rav, "What do I do?" And Beis Hillel says to him, "Tell him the following: Don't do it." Did you prepare dirt before Yontif? No? Don't do it. Okay. And then, if he did it, so now, the B'dievet halacha is that he can cover, which we'll explain in just a moment. Rav Yosef Amar, now, we just gave an explanation of the Mishnah. Okay, it's a little bit of, whatever, it's a little creative in the way the Gemara explained the Mishnah, but now the Mishnah works out great. The Mishnah is making one singular point. That lichatchila, you cannot shecht an animal if you don't have dirt ready before Yontif, according to Beis Hillel. Now, that was all according to Rabba. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to read basically the same explanation again by Rav Yosef, and you have to look really careful and real hard to see what's the difference between Rav Yosef and Rabba, because I did this a couple times yesterday. I read it again, I'm like, what? Rav Yosef just repeated the same thing as Rabba, and obviously, if there's got to be a difference. And I'm happy to report I found it, which is good because it's a simple pshat of the Gemara. And let's see it inside. Rav Yosef Omer Hachi Kamer Hashochish Abalehi Malech. If the shechter is asking questions, meaning before he shechts, he says, "Oh, I want to shecht the animal, but I don't have dirt. What do I do?" So he goes to his Rav. Ketzad Omer Lo. What should the Rav tell him? So Beishami Omrim Omer Lo. Lech chafor shechot v'kaseh. So here's what you do. So dig up some dirt, shech the animal, and cover the blood. In other words, go ahead. And Beis Hillel says, did you have dirt ready? No? No, then don't do it. Okay. That is Rav Yosef's explanation of the Mishnah, which almost seems identical to Rabba's explanation. It is almost identical to Rabba's explanation. There is one difference. Okay, can you spot the difference between Rabba and Rav Yosef? I'll give it away. The difference between Rabba and Rav Yosef is Beit Shammai. Meaning, look carefully back at Rabba. When Rabba offers his explanation, say, so what's Beit Shammai's instructions to the Rav? The Rav says, here's what you do. Omrim lo shechot, first shecht, Chafor, then dig the dirt, vikase and cover. Okay, that's Rava's understanding of Beit Shammai. What is Rav Yossi's understanding of Beit Shammai? Chafor, first dig, then shecht, and then cover. Okay, so in terms of Beis Hillel, we're in total agreement, which is the halacha. Meaning if you don't have dirt ready, don't shecht. Okay, sorry. But according to Beit Shammai, so what do? So basically you do it, it's just now a question of what the order is. So Amalei Abai L'Rav Yosef Le'mamar V'Rabba Bidde Rebbe Zeira Amarav Kamif L'Gisu. So perhaps the debate between Rabba and Rav Yosef is really a function of, or could be a function of, the statement made by Rebbe Zeira. What's the statement to Rebbe Zeira? To Amar Rebbe Zeira Amar Rav Ashoch Etzach Shiten Afal Amatav Afal Amala. When you shecht an animal and you want to perform the mitzvah of Kisu Adam, dirt on the bottom, dirt on the top, blood in the middle. Shenemar v'shafach es damo v'kisahu bi'afar. And you cover in the dirt. That's the pasuk, this week's parsha. You cover in the dirt. So you're covering in the dirt. What is that telling you? In other words, you need dirt on the bottom and dirt on the top. Afar lo nemar ela bi'afar. Malamish ha'ashoch etzach shi'itein afal amata v'afal amala. Okay, and maybe now what the Gemara is suggesting is this is the subtle difference between Rabba and Rav Yosef. So if you want dirt on the bottom, what do you need first? Dirt. If you don't need dirt on the bottom, so therefore you could shecht and then dig afterwards. And so Mar Islay de Rabbi Zera v'Rabba Leislay de Rabbi Zera. Maybe that's the machlokus. Amar Lei. So he says to him, no, that was a nice try, but that's not correct. Bein le didi, bein le Rabba, Islay de Rabbi Zera. We both hold of Rabbi Zeira. Meaning this principle, Rabbi Zeira, is not up for discussion, it's not up for debate. It's funny, this second time today that we see that Rabbi Zeira makes a statement, and it's unanimous. Meaning we all agree to Rabbi Zeira's statement. That in order to perform the mitzvah of Kisrei Adam, you need dirt on the bottom, you need dirt on the top. V'hacha b'haka mifleginan. And our debate is, Rabbi Savri, yik afer lamata ini lo lo, chayshinan dima mamlich, velo shachit, that if there's dirt on the bottom, great, and if not, so then no. Because Dilma Mamlich velo shachit, because what may end up happening is he may change his mind. Uli didi ha'adifa. And I say no. Get the dirt ready. Meaning dig before you shecht. Because the elo sharis le asilimnu and besimchas yontav. Because if we don't do that, he may think to himself, you know, maybe I need, maybe I don't need. You know what? Dig first. Now you have the dirt ready. Now, and it'll help motivate you to shecht the animal, and so that you have more meat, and you'll be happier on Yontif. What could be happier than eating meat on Yontif? Okay. Good. Good. So basically now, settled, meaning in terms of the Mishnah, there's only one way to understand Beis Hillel, and that is Beis Hillel's bidyevet. That Beis Hillel will tell you that if you had dirt going into Yontif, you're good. You can shecht, and you'll use the dirt that you prepared before Yontif to cover. If you didn't have dirt, so Beis Hillel says, he asked the Rav will tell you, I'm really sorry, don't shecht. Lechatchila you shouldn't shecht. And then Beis Hillel makes a concession that if you shecht it already, so then bidyevet, you can dig and cover with the dirt. And Beis Shammai in our Mishnah says that no, even lechatchila, you can go ahead and you can dig the dirt. And as far as Rabban Rav Yosef is concerned, they do have a small disagreement in terms of what the correct order should be according to Beis Shammai. First dig, then shecht. First shecht, then dig. And the Gemara points out that it's a machlokus. That's the entire machlokus between Rabbi Zeira. That's incorrect. Rabba and Rav Yosef in the Mishnah. Okay. Right, correct. Now we're going to follow Beis Hillel. That yes. Now the big discussion coming up in the Gemara now is the following. Good. So now that we have basically the Mishnah set up and we understand what's the correct understanding of the Mishnah, so now we're able to ask the most basic question. Bidyevet, you shechted an animal, you didn't have dirt. So what does Beis Hillel allow you to do in the Mishnah? What he allows you to do is take a shovel, put it into the ground, pick up some dirt and cover the blood. Okay, again, not lechatchila, but bidyevet. Okay, but b'di'evit, how can you do that? Meaning the Gemara now is going to deal with the most basic question. How in the world can you dig dirt on Yontiv in order to cover the blood? The Gemara asks, Umodim she'im shachas she'achbor b'dekar v'yechase Amar Rabbi Zirik Amar Rabbi Yehuda v'hu yeshe'ish lo dekar na'ut mi ba'od yom. So the Gemara doesn't ask and answer. The Gemara just basically tells us, here's the story. In order for this to happen, in order for the allowance of digging dirt in the ground, the spade has to already be in the ground. So therefore, you're not taking the shovel and actually putting it into the ground. The spade is going to be in the ground. And that does what? So, take a look at Rashi. So Rashi says, well, not yet. I'm sorry. Let's first cover a little bit more Gemara, and then I'll come back to Rashi. Okay. B'hu she'esh lo dekar na'ut mi ba'od yom. V'ha ka'avid kitisha. So the Gemara starts off now with the halachic discussion. I still don't understand. Number one says the Gemara, Kitisha. Now what is Kitisha? Kitisha means grinding up. You're crumbling up dirt. Now, let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, it's the last Rashi on the Samud. The Gemara talks about where you have the spade already in the ground. Rashi tells us, well, I'll tell you what. This point in Rashi, if you'll allow me, please, we're going to go over this point later on this morning. So I'm going to bulldoze right over this point of Rashi, and we'll come back to it later. The hole's already been made, meaning the shovel's in the ground, so therefore I'm not digging a hole. The fact that the spade is already in the ground means that the hole was already there. Okay. And all you're doing now is just simply picking the dirt up off the ground. So now, no problem with digging a hole because the hole was already dug. Good. But now there are a number of other malachas that are in discussion. Number one says the Gemara, I'm reading Rashi, Ha'ka'avit Kitisha. You're grinding dirt up. She'adayin rigavim medubakim heim. The clumps of dirt are still very thick. Ve'enam rula kisui. And you don't cover. In other words, covering does not mean you take a big clump of dirt and you put it on top, but you're basically crumbling up dirt and you're sprinkling the dirt over the top. Ela imkin kochan v'kotesh tolada detochenhu umalachehi. And Rashi says, Kitisha, what is that a subcategory of? Subcategory of tchina, of grinding. And you're not allowed to grind on Shabbos or on Yantif. Right? Now again, to go back to a discussion that we had in the beginning of the Masechta, some malachas you are allowed to do on Yantav. Some malachas you're not allowed to do on Yantav. So this tchina of grinding, so it sounds like from the Gemara over here, it sounds like from Rashi over here, that's one of the malachas that you're not allowed to do on Yantav. Okay. And mind you, by the way, we're not talking about the actual food, we're talking about the dirt. Could be that's another distinction. Anyway, so the Gemara is now asking, so you have the dirt, and you're not digging the hole because the shovel was already in there before Yantav. But still, you're crumbling up the dirt. Amar b'chia, barashi, amarav, be'afar, tichoach. So the Gemara says that the earth over here is very fine. In other words, it's not clumps, but it's already very fine earth. Okay, good. So that gets us now out of the issue of tchina, because it's kvar nitchan, it's already ground. Okay, but still, picking the earth up off the ground. I understand you didn't put the spade into the ground, but now you're picking up earth in the ground and you're uncovering a hole. And you're uncovering a hole, and the problem with that is, take a look at the first Rashi on Ches Amud Aleph, V'chayiv Mishum Binyan. That's building. Meaning, anytime you're preparing earth for any type of building, so this is a form of building. So the Gemara says, "Kedir Rabbi Abba, Dama Rabbi Abba, Achofer Guma b'Shabbos ve'Nitzarich El La Afra, Pater Aleha." So to that, the Gemara says, "Well, there's no problem in terms of bona of building because you are not digging a hole for the hole; you're digging a hole for the earth, for the land, and that's not a malacha." Now, why is that not a malacha? So what we would normally have said is that this is a classic example of malacha she'ena tzricha lagufa. meaning the third nine malachas on Shabbos. We know that in order to violate the malacha, you have to perform the malacha the way that it was done in the Mishkan. So what when they dug into the ground, so what was that an act of? Was it an act of binyan? Why? Because I need to prepare the ground. In other words, I had to level the ground, I had to smooth out the ground, right? Perhaps over here I needed a ditch in order to create some sort of sewage. In other words, so that was part, I dug into the ground because I needed the hole in the ground. If, however, I'm digging because I need the earth, this is not the primary function of the malacha as done in the Mishkan, and so therefore this is a malacha she'ena tzricha l'gufa. Now, if you take a look at Tosfos, that's exactly what Tosfos says. Tosfos says, you take a look at the second Tosfos on the Amud, and it's our chalal afra, pater mishum da'ave malacha she'ena tzricha l'gufa u'pater aleha. Now, do me a favor, hold on that point of Tosfos. Right. Hold that point of Tosfos. I'm going to come back because I'm going to read the end of the Tosfos in just a moment. But before I read the end of the Tosfos, so Ben points out, Ben took a look at Rashi. Rashi doesn't say all this. Everything I just said, the way I just presented the Gemara, was great. Because I just, all I did is I read Tosfos. Good. Take a look at Rashi, Pater Aleha. So Rashi writes, it's the second Rashi on the Samud, Ken de Mefarish Tama Berakam de Chagiga, de Kevin in Sarach El Lafra, Velo Laguma. I'm digging the hole, but it's because I want the dirt, and it's not because I want the hole. Eino bone velo choresh. It's not binyan. It's not charisha. Ella mikalkel. But rather, it's destructive. V'chol ha-mikalkel and peturin. And anytime you do a destructive act, it's going to be putt or you're going to be exempt. In other words, the way Rashi seems to explain our Gemara is that why isn't this a malacha? Because it's a destructive act. And malachas, by definition, have to be constructive and not destructive. Now, in general, right. In general, this is true by most of the malachas. There are a couple malachas which are destructive in nature. Right? Burning a fire. Okay, but anyway. But Rashi over here, let's just deal with the main point of Rashi. Rashi over here says it's not constructive, it's destructive, and therefore it's not a malacha. First of all, why doesn't Rashi just simply say like Tosfos? Meaning, this is a malacha she'en tzricha l'gufa. So why doesn't Rashi say like Tosfos? So, probably, because if you've seen enough Rashi, you'll know that Rashi says that malacha she'en tzricha l'gufa. Right? I do malacha not for its purpose. What does that mean? So I gave you the Tosfos explanation, which is they're not doing it for the primary reason that it was done in the Mishkan. Okay. Happens to be that Rashi, consistently, throughout the Gemara, says, Malacha Shein Tzrich L'Gufa, that doesn't create a Shabbos or Yontov liability because it's not constructive, it's destructive. Meaning, Rashi's definition of Malacha Shein Tzrich L'Gufa is that it's destructive. Rashi actually, I know it's a little bit strange, but Rashi actually agrees with Tosfos. Meaning what the Gemara's answer over here is that when I'm digging the hole in the ground, I don't need the hole, I need the earth. So Rashi's basically saying like Tosfos. And the reason why you're going to be exempt is because Malacha Shein Tzrich L'Gufa. It just happens to be that what Rashi and Tosfos are disagreeing about is what's the definition of Malacha Shein Tzrich L'Gufa. Rashi says the definition is kilkul. It's destructive, it's not constructive. Tosos' definition, and again, Tosos is also very consistent. Tosos' definition is that Malacha Shein Tzrich L'Gufa is going to be exempt because that's not the way that it was done in the Mishkan. That wasn't the primary purpose of the way of what was done back in the Mishkan, in the building of the Mishkan. Okay, hopefully I clarified that point a little bit better. And now let's move on to the next part. And now let's go back to Tosfos. And now let's read the end of Tosfos, because over here now, There's more to consider. The Gemara says that I'm digging a hole in the ground in order to cover the blood. Again, Bidi Eved, according to Beis Hillel, I shouldn't shecht, but if I shechted, and now I got blood to cover, so what do I do? So if there's a spade in the ground already, so now I can pick the dirt up and put it on top of the blood. So again, Choresh, plowing the ground, you're not violating because the spade was already there in the ground. Tochen. Crumbling tochen, you're not violating because the Gemara says we're talking about afer tichoch. The ground is already crumbled up into granules, and so therefore I'm not crumbling. And what about the fact that I'm making a hole? So the Gemara says it's a malacha shein tzrich l'gufa. Again, that's not the Gemara's terminology, but we'll use Tosfos terminology. Malacha shein tzrich l'gufa. Just give me one point, one more moment. I'm just going to explain this next part of Tosfos. Okay, all of that is well said, and hopefully well clarified, maybe. But now Tosfos points out, even if it is a malacha shein tzrich l'gufa, what's the halacha? You're pater. What does that mean, pater? Pater means that it's not a Torah violation, but it's still rabbinically forbidden. Meaning on Shabbos, you're not allowed to do a malacha shein tzrich l'gufa. On a Torah level, you get a pass. You don't have to bring a karban chatas. But it's still rabbinically forbidden. So all this is well stated, but isn't there still a rabbinic prohibition? Next part of Tosfos, Vitema. Back to Tosfos, second Tosfos on the Amud. De'im kein pater aval aser lechatchila. It still should be rabbinically forbidden. V'yesh lamar. So Tosfos over here now suggests the simcha mishum simcha siyontav motor afilu lechatchila. So now there's a mitigating consideration that over here there's something called simchas yontif. Simchas yontif basically means I'm going to enjoy yontif. By having meat on yontif, I'm going to enjoy yontif. Now, simchas yontif won't allow me to violate Torah prohibition, but simchas yontif now argues Tosfos allows me to violate rabbinic prohibition, specifically the rabbinic prohibition of malacha shein tzrich l'gufa. Under normal circumstances, it's still rabbinically forbidden, but because of simchas yontif, so therefore it allows me to bypass the malacha shein tzrich l'gufa.
Question.
Yeah.
When we say we're going to prepare food for yontif, we're allowed to even make a knife.
No, so the machshirin, that is a shita, that's an opinion, but that's not one we hold. In other words, that's machshir ochel nefesh, but we're not. In other words, that's not the accepted position. That's the shita Rabbi Eliezer. Okay, go ahead.
Is there a time element? Is there any problem?
Right. In other words,
do it like after Yom Tov is over.
Right. The Gemara doesn't entertain that, so it sounds like the kisur that the mitzvah should be done immediately. In other words. But it is an interesting question. I mean, why not just simply wait after Yontif? The blood will still be there. You'll cover it after Yontif. It's an interesting consideration. One last point about this Tosfos. I know I'm spending a lot of time on a very small Tosfos, but he really touches on fundamental issues. So one last point to consider, and that is the following. So Tosfos basically says that it's a malacha shein tzrich l'gufa, and under normal circumstances, you're pater, you're exempt. But over here, because it's Simchas Yontif, so therefore it's a mitigating consideration. But meanwhile, right, and Tosos at the very end says, So then, why does the spade have to be in the ground? So, because it has to be prepared before Yontif. It's not prepared before Yontif. What's the issue? It's Muksa. Now, it's just right realizing, trying to put everything together, this is difficult. Meaning, it's just, when I say difficult, I mean just simply difficult to understand. Meaning, on one hand, malacha shein tzrich l'gufa, which under normal circumstances is rabbinically forbidden, but simchas yontif, okay, we can overlook malacha shein tzrich l'gufa. But muksa, however, right? You know, you're right, you realize now what I'm attacking. I'm attacking, and I have no good way of explaining it. But muksa, however, muksa is such a serious consideration that if the shovel's not in the ground before yontif and it wasn't prepared before yontif, so now it's a muksa issue, and muksa, we can't overlook muksa. Even though muksa is a derabbanan, and so right, I'm giving a riddle. But in other words, I understand. I generally like to clarify, and I don't like to create problems. But somehow, simchas yontif can allow us to overlook malacha shein tzrich l'gufa, but simchas yontif cannot allow us to overlook muksa. Okay, and why that should be, I don't know. But in other words, that's the conclusion of the discussion over here. But Kisra Adam is the Araisa, correct. So in other words, that's why. But Kisra Adam doesn't, right? You don't have to, in other words, you didn't have to shecht. Okay? What are you going to eat? You'll get other food. In other words, you didn't have to shecht. We're not talking about a life or death situation. We're talking about, I'd like some fresh meat on Yontif. Which again, you're entitled to. But now the problem is that I don't have dirt for Kisra Adam. Okay? So that's why Beis Hillel would say, do you have dirt ready? No? Okay, don't do it. And now, if you shechted, so now, under certain circumstances, meaning the way the Gemara now carved it out, it's a very limited circumstance. But under certain circumstances, b'di'evid, you can cover. And only if you can circumvent all the issues of Harisha, Techina, Binyan. In other words, those are three malachas that we have to navigate a way around. And under those circumstances, then b'di'evid, you can shecht. Okay? And we're just, all we're doing now, I mean, it's not a small thing, is we're just trying to figure out which the Rabbanans we can override and which the Rabbanans can we not override. Some yes, some no. Why some yes, why some no. So I'm presenting to you that I'm stuck.
How can he move with the Eved if he has the shovel already prepared Erev Yom Tov?
So, why is it b'dieved if the shovel's prepared? Because the dirt's not prepared. Meaning, all we have is a shovel on the ground. But in other words, he didn't pick up the dirt, he didn't put the dirt in a corner. If he did that, so then the lechatchila could shecht. All he's got is the dirt in the ground. And so now, it's not, the dirt is not ready and prepared before Yom Tov. He's still going to have to pick dirt up off the ground. And so therefore, lechatchila, he shouldn't do it. How much what? However many you need on Yom Tov, meaning as long as you could use it for Yom Tov. All right, right. I don't know. In other words, we're dealing really more with the conceptual issues. But all right, could be. You'll have a lot of blood ready, a lot of dirt ready. Okay, let's move on. Let's at least finish this side of the Amud. Afar kira muchanhu. And now what we get to do is we get to look at the last four words of the Mishnah. Okay? Last four words of the Mishnah will consume today, the rest of today's daf and a little bit of tomorrow's daf. Okay, good. Four words of Mishnah. What's the problem with these four words of Mishnah? The problem is very simple. What are they doing there? Meaning, the Kisur Adam issue has now been discussed, analyzed, presented. And then the Mishnah says, and oh, by the way, the ashes of your oven are considered Muchan. What are we even talking about? So, Efer Kira Muchan, Mandakashme. The Gemara's question is very simple. It's a non sequitur. What is that doing in our Mishnah? Amar Abba Hachi Kamar, Vi Efer Kira Muchan Hu. Okay, the issue is as follows. We're going to take the shin and replace it with a vav. And why is that going to be such a breakthrough in the Mishnah? Because with a shin, the shin makes it sound like She'efer. It's a continuation of the previous point. And we don't understand. Meaning we were talking about dirt, now we're talking about ashes? Dirt's dirt, ashes are ashes. What does one have to do with the other? With the Vav now, the Mishnah's making a new point, an independent point. Well, not a totally independent point. We're still talking about the mitzvah of covering the blood, but now we're also making another point, which is as follows. You know, dirt's good for covering the blood. You know what is also good for covering the blood? Afer, ashes. You have ashes, you can take the ashes and cover the blood with the ashes. Efer kira muchan hu. And the Mishnah's point is as follows. It's muchan. Now, that means it's not muksa. Let's think about this for just a moment. It's not muksa. What do you mean it's not muksa? Meaning, how do I get to the ashes? On Yom Tov, I took logs of wood, I put it into the oven, right? The logs of wood now burnt up, and now what I have on the floor are ashes. That's no lot. Meaning those ashes weren't there before Yom Tov. The Gemara discusses exactly this point. I'm Rav Yudah, Rav Lo Shanu, Rav Lo Shehusak, Mer of Yom Tov, Aval Husak Be Yom Tov Aser. There we go. Rav says that this only will work if the wood was reduced to ashes before Yom Tov. But if I throw the wood on the oven on Yom Tov, which of course you're allowed to do, right? You're allowed to make a fire on Yom Tov, right? Not to start a fire, but that's a discussion we'll have later on in the Masechta. But you're allowed to make a fire on Yom Tov. So if I do it on Yom Tov, those ashes are not Muchan. Those ashes came into being on Yom Tov. Good. So our Mishnah is talking about where the ashes were there before Yom Tov. The Marlet Salz Babeit Samutter, if they were fit to roast an egg, so then they would be Mutter. Tanya Nameach, the Gemara quotes this as a brace as well. That's only if the ashes were there before Yantav. Now, if it's fit to roast an egg, so then it would be mutter. Hichnis afar legina so ulecharva so mutlachasus bo. If before Yantav you gather dirt into your garden or into your churva, your backyard or your whatever, your abandoned home. In other words, basically, you gather dirt before Yom Tov, so then you could use it for the mitzvah of Kisui. V'am Rav Yehuda, mach nezadam lo kupaso, offer v'oseh bo kol tzarcho. You can bring in a box of dirt before Yom Tov and use for it whatever you want. Meaning, before Yom Tov, you want to prepare dirt for Yom Tov? Go ahead. Bring it into a box, bring a box in with dirt. Now, uses of dirt on Yom Tov, right? Fun discussion. What are you using dirt on Yom Tov for? So number one, as we've been discussing since the beginning of this morning, the mitzvah of Kisu Adam. You're going to be shechting animals on Yom Tov. You'll shech the birds on Yom Tov. You have the mitzvah of Kisu Adam. Number two, what's your second use of dirt on Yom Tov? Okay, you have a child in the house. You have a baby in the house. So they're not toilet trained yet. And by toilet training back then, that meant, of course, going to the outhouse. But in other words, if they had an accident anywhere around the house, so what's the dirt going to be useful for? Right, there we go. So Darish Marzucha Mishmeid the Marzucha Rabba Vushiichlo Karen Zavis. Now, yes, it's Mukhan, but you had to put it in a specific corner of the house. Meaning, part of the Hachana process of the dirt is that not just you threw dirt into the house, but you designated a particular place. All right. We will stop over here. Not as much as I wanted to cover, obviously, but we'll stop over here, and tomorrow we'll pick it up in terms of getting the dirt ready. Tomorrow also, I didn't do the Tosfos, but I'd like to discuss it. Meaning, the Tosfos is clearly of the assumption, the Gemara is clearly of the assumption that ashes can also be used for the mitzvah of Kisui Adam. Even though the Torah says, you do the mitzvah of Kisui Adam using what? Dirt. Why should ashes be an acceptable substitute? I didn't discuss it. I'll start off tomorrow morning by discussing that. Tosfos discusses it. Okay. In the meantime, however, let's just quickly recap. Today we finished up the discussion of chametz and seor, the isser of achila, no disagreement, the isser of ownership, disagreement between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. We hold like Beis Hillel. The shear of achila and the shear of ownership are the same. Good. And then we got into the discussion of the mitzvah of kisui adam. The Mishnah talks lechatchila. The Mishnah, even though it sounds like there's a distinction between lechatchila and b'di'evad, the Gemara smoothed out the Mishnah. According to Beis Hillel, not lechatchila, only b'di'evad. Can you shecht if you didn't have dirt ready? If you had dirt ready, so then you could shecht even lechatchila. What about b'di'evad? How could you cover? So we've navigated through three different malachas in terms of the possible violation of three malachas. We circumnavigated around our way of three different malachas, and also the issue of muksa as well. Okay, we discussed a little bit of malachas shein tzrich legufa, some basic issues, and then we're going to go on to discuss tomorrow using ashes of the oven. The Gemara says the ashes of the oven are only going to be acceptable if they were ashes before Yantav, not if they were reduced to ashes on Yantav itself. More to discuss about that tomorrow.